We have to come to. So now we're recording. So let's go to Statue of Perfect Man. And thank the Lord for the reading of the Word this morning. There in the book of Proverbs. So now to the Statue of a Perfect Man. We're going to read some quotes this morning. I want to try to read them all, make comments, because I've never got finished with all my quotes. So, but you see, Brother Bob made it like this, so we can read it like a book. We can go through page by page. All right, so can you read? Can you see that? Okay. Sister Anna? Okay. Statue of a Perfect Man, 1962. I know you can't see it on the video, but you can listen. This is paragraph 59. Now, these people are, Peter is saying here, how that we must be partakers of his divine nature. Now, each one of us are trying to grow into the stature of God. That's our goal. That's our promise. And like we've said many times before, that's our requirement. And I'm spending a lot of time on the foundation, because if you don't get the foundation right, why build the building? All right? Now, after we get through with the seven seals, then, at that time of the sounding of the seventh seal, or the loosening, of course, we know what a seal is to loose the ministry, to loose seven seals. And we'll see that right on the chart is loosing a message, something that's sealed up. All right, let's go to we're going to stay in the Statue of Perfect Man, paragraph 61. Last Sunday night, I preached on the key, and the key is faith. Faith holds the key, and the key is the Scripture. So where do we get our faith? If faith is the key, where do we get our faith? Like Sister Anna Kennard says, she's been reading more, and it's become more inspired to her. The Word's become more... Well, Brother Branham said, if you want to get closer to God, read your Bible and study. If you're not hearing anything from God, you're not studying or reading enough. Too simple. And the key is faith. The faith holds the key. The key is the Scripture. And Christ is the door. So faith takes the little hinges of the Scripture and unlocks the glories and goods of God out to His people. See, so it's faith holds the key that unlocks Christ to the people, unlocks it and reveals it. So today we're going to take that same key to unlock the way to become a virtuous Christian in the stature of God and be a living tabernacle for the living God to dwell in. Paragraph 63, keep reading. Remember, God reveals Himself in three ways. First time He revealed Himself in a pillar of fire that was called the Fatherhood. That was in the Old Testament. All right. Then that same God made manifest in Jesus Christ, which He built a body, made this body. Thirdly, through the death of that body, He sanctified a church that He can dwell in. It was God above us, God with us, God in us, the same God. All right, paragraph 74. Through that blood we are cleansed, and now our blood, our life, which came by living through sexual desire, brought our life into the world. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, changes our nature by sending upon us the Holy Spirit. Then we become in the divine nature of God. Everybody got that? Then we become a dwelling place for God. Jesus said, at that day you'll know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. Paragraph 87. Now I want to say this, that there are some people who have a portion of this virtue, knowledge, wisdom, patience, and so forth, that don't even profess to be Christians. Now we're teaching Sunday school, and that's true. There are some people who have a portion of this that don't even pretend to be Christians. But that won't do it. It's like a blackbird trying to put peacock feathers in his wings to make him a peacock. He only disgraces himself. Be better to stay a blackbird, see? When he tries to exercise these things without being a Christian, he's just simply out of place. Well, now, paragraph 94. Well, now that's the way it is, trying to manufacture. That's what we don't want to do. We don't want to try to manufacture these virtues. Okay? Let's don't try to manufacture them. What we're going to do is we're going to start in the faith maybe next Sunday after we get through this and give some examples. Because, see, you should be born again. That's faith. All right? Then we're going to give some examples of virtue. Well, now, that's the way it is, trying to manufacture Christianity. You can't do it. The first thing you've got to do is be born again. You've got to be changed. And when you're changed, you become a new creation. And now you're getting right now. See? Now, you don't have to worry about the feathers It'll take care of itself. In other words, you're a blackbird. When God kills that old man, burns that old nature out, you don't have the nature of the blackbird anymore. You got the nature of the peacock. Well, guess what? If you were to film this thing, you'd see a blackbird, but he would morph, or immorphe, God immorphe into man. You would immorphe into a peacock, and you would start pushing out. You'd see the blackbird feathers fall off, and the peacock feathers start coming out, because that's the nature that's in the bird now. It wasn't before, but it is now. All right? Now you're getting right now. Now you don't have to worry about the feathers. It'll take care of itself when you're born again. Yes, sir. Notice, paragraph 102, you must be born again. Look how many times he says you must be born again. You got to have that nature change. And when you're born again, you can't be born again without having faith. So see on my chart here, I got the very foundation. Faith is the foundation of all of it. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you can't please God with these virtues if you don't have faith. All right? And we're talking baby form faith. We're talking about the faith that was delivered to the saints. We're talking about faith just starting in your journey. All right? And that's what gets me about people 30 years into the journey and they're still on hair and dress and clothes and can't take the people any further. Where you been? I mean, you're either a blackbird sticking peacock feathers in you all this time, or you've so retarded the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not retarded. You are. You retard the Holy Ghost so much, right? Because you can. You can grieve the Holy Spirit, like we read, Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, which you can. You can grieve him. He'll go out here and he'll just let you sit here and rot and still be a son of God. Adam was a son of God, right? He was a fallen son of God. He did a horrible thing, but he was still a son of God. Okay? All right? And he didn't move any further because of what he did. Right? He was God of the earth. And then he lost that Godship when he went with Eve and sold. She didn't sell us out. He sold us out. A son of God that could speak the word and it would happen. A son of God that could speak the word and it would happen. He fell. He fell in flesh. See, that's why we can fall in flesh. That's why we can say, no, I don't want to open that door, God. I don't want you in there. And he'll say, okay. My brother Bram said, the Holy Ghost is very timid. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force his way in a door. You let him in, and he'll do what he's supposed to do. But if you don't let him in, he'll say, okay, I'm not going to force my way into that door. If you don't want pride, whatever you want to say, you can, you know, put them all together. But watch this. You can't be born again without having faith. That's right. So you see on my chart here, I got the very foundation. Faith is the foundation of all of it. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because remember, when you're born again, he is pleased to dwell. Just like we were preaching the other day about Jesus on the River Jordan. You on your River Jordan, right? You receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God says, I am pleased to dwell in that vessel. There's something about you that God likes. Okay? He accepts you, like Brother Dale's been preaching. He accepts you and says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. But he stops right there. Then you got to walk that you got to walk. All right? Faith is the foundation of all of it. For without faith, is it possible to please God? So God can't say he's pleased with you if you don't have the new birth. Right? Okay? He that cometh to God must believe that he is what? That he's God. You got to believe that he's God and that he will do for you. It's hard to explain, and I'm trying to find that quote where Brother Branham says, somehow God comes down through all that flesh, spirit, goes in there and burns that old man out and puts himself in there. And the prophet didn't know how to explain it. He said there's some way that God does that. And it is unexplainable. It really is. But you know what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things you can't see. There's a day when that absolute pillar of fire came down through, like Brother Bram said, come through all that junk and gave you the new birth. Now, you didn't see that. You saw the manifestation of it. But that's exactly what happened. Like on the day of Pentecost, when those cloven tongue of fire set on their head, That's what happened to you at the new birth, or they got it different than you did. But when you receive the new birth, that's exactly what happened. God comes in, Satan goes out. And you don't open nothing in your body. It's not something, a hole that's got to go through. Right?
God works on your desire.
That's right.
Where does the desire come from? The spirit realm, Satan's in your soul.
It comes from you. Brother Bram said you heard from your theophany, or I like to say you heard, like I said, my little quote that I got, that you responded to the part of the word that God knew you'd respond to. He had it in the Bible before the foundation of the world. And when that responded to you, or when you responded to it, right, when you responded to the word, there's the connection. There's the searing out of Satan, S-E-A-R, like you sear something on a grill. The searing out of Satan and the putting in of God. All right? So there, you have representation of predestination. We got in a discussion of this yesterday. And that doesn't make you always was eternal. But that part of you always was eternal. It's kind of hard to explain, but I can explain it to y'all. But into an unlearned crowd, you can't really explain it. Because it is a representation. There is a place in this word that you are going to come to. If not, God didn't know what he's doing. Because you were predestinated for the foundation of the world. Jesus come to show you that you had an inheritance, not give you one. He come to show you had one and to be the door of the way back in. Because remember, if you're to be redeemed, it means you were here, you went to here, and now you're going back to here. Not over here, you're going right back to here. Redemption's not replacement. Redemption's not dropping this and picking up this. Redemption's not even dropping this and it was right here and it fell and I lay it over there. That's not redemption. Redemption's putting it back in its position. And our rightful position got sold out by Adam through adultery, that Eve committed adultery, and he accepted that. God accepted our adultery because we committed adultery, remember? We were born to Satan and he was our husband. If not, the old man don't have to die then. But that's what I was talking to the brother. You've only got faith or doubt in your soul. Either God's there or the devil's there, one of the two. There's not both of them there at the same time. So in your soul, you were not eternal. But there was an eternal part. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Listen to me. There was an eternal part of you that was hidden in this word. Because remember, it's a thought. God had the thought. Then it had to be spoken by somebody in the Bible. Then it had to be spoken by a preacher while you were standing here alive. Because remember, Brother Brown says it's not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God, but the seed or word. Everybody talking about this seed, seed, seed. Simply the seed is a word. There is no germ. See, we go back to the sperm and eggs and all this stuff, and we get all wrapped up into this human stuff. Remember, none of that was supposed to be. Let's just be honest. There was to be no sex. There was to be no male sperm meeting female sperm. That's the original. That's the original. It was supposed to be spoken, and then Eve would surely have something to do with it, but it was spoken word, not a sensation, not an arousal. Come on, let's be honest here. But remember, that's what we fell to. Because Adam accepted what Eve thought she was doing right. So to be spoken word children, we got to come back to not a seed, male, female, germ, sperm. No. The seed is the word of God. That's what the Bible says. So the seed's laying in here, not in here. But God knew one day, though, that the seed that was laying in here was going to go in here. In other words, Brother Branham, he wouldn't have said that God somehow come down through all that. But see, Brother Branham, in his revelation, he comes up to a higher part of revelation. He said, you wasn't born on any certain day. Sons of God were always sons of God. And he starts talking about that. Well, that's right. If that eternal life that you have come from God, which it did, had to, that was eternal. God did write your name in a book. And you know what? God did have something with you getting here. God did have something with you getting there. It was your mom and daddy that committed the act, but look at all the germs and sperms and all that it had to go through to get you here. Millions and billions back from your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. So it is predestinated. But you can't in a group that's just coming up in the Lord, you can't just say you always was eternal, you never was born on any certain day, you got this seed laying in you, because people will just relax and go, well, I always had it. I'm always this. I'm always that. I'm in the message. No, you can't take salvation out of this. Brother Branham, there's no way he could take the blood of Jesus Christ dying on the cross out of his message. But we do have to come to a realization that the real you didn't do it. Because if the real you did it, you're still lost. Right? If the real you did it, because remember, with that Genesis 1, 26 and 27, never cursed, never smoked, never committed adultery, never had one mark of sin. If it has one mark of sin, then it's not part of that Genesis 1, 26 and 27. But you were a part of that. And to me, the Genesis 1, 26 and 27 is the Word. Because it's the Word body that we're looking at. Not a body that mom and daddy brought, but because of the fall, to go back to redemption. To go back to redemption, you got to go back to the blood of Jesus Christ. If not, if we didn't need the blood of Jesus Christ, he could have just said, Nicodemus, me and you were always eternal. No, he said, Nicodemus, you need something new because what you've got is old. Simple as that. Oh my gosh. That's correct. That's right. Sure.
Of God's word that pertains to me for my age, that's what strikes in me.
Right.
And that's what was eternal.
I mean, listen, everybody, did you not react one day? You reacted to somebody preaching the word of God. Not reading the newspaper, not reading a good story somewhere, not reading about this one or that. You were convicted by what a man was preaching from the word of God. There's the seed. Now, you can say it laid dormant in you. You can say whatever you want to. It laid dormant in your understanding because the word's not dormant. But now you see Brother Brown, he'll say the word laid dormant. It was dead. It laid in the tomb. Well, that was the word of God laying there. But when the life come to it, it quickened that life and brought it back to life. Same way with you and I. It quickened the word that you held. Can't ever be born again without listening to the word first. Right? And the life has to come through the body. Now, why in the world would Brother Brown say the seed life has to come through the body if you already had the seed? Well, they're trying to make this, and look, I'll tell you later when it's not, the thing's not on. But there is a truth to that. If you really understand, you were always eternal. You are always in the mind of God. You always were going to be a son of God. If not, God had a new thought. But you got to realize you were lost first. Then you got to realize you got to get these virtues working in your life. Only when Brother Branham got a revelation of the seals did it reveal to him that the real you didn't do it. And it's not that you come to a place where the real you didn't do it. No, the real you never done it. But remember, this you is the one you got to deal with first. If you deal with this you first, the one that mom and daddy brought, that brought all the memory, reason, conscious, effects, and imagination, and all these things. If you deal with that first, then you can see that God did predestinate you, and you did have a part in the Word, and you were always a son of God. Now, can everybody, is that okay? I mean, but you were lost. The Bible says you were lost. Paul says such were some of you. Children of wrath, he said. He didn't say you were set over here aside, but in God's mind, you were set over here aside. There is a separation. Because that Genesis 1, 26 and 27 is only the people that receive the new birth in this world. That is not the Old Testament saints. That is not Nicodemus. That is not the foolish virgin. That is not the 144,000. That is the people that God knew would want to be his children more than any person on the face of the earth. Amen? Exactly.
Well, I was thinking the Jews are part of God's family.
Absolutely.
You don't marry within your family.
Right. Today. Right.
You pick somebody outside.
That's right. That's good. But remember, too, Abraham was never called a son of God. Abraham was called a friend of God. Now, he'll be given eternal life. Right? He'll be given eternal life. Because of what was covered under the blood of bulls and goats, God honored that. But now, Abraham, sure, he's going to have a place in the city because he's the father of our faith. But he's not going to have a place in the city to live. I don't believe that. Only the people that live in there are going to be the bride and the 144,000. Now, they may be, see, because you, the Bible says that, that the foundation of the apostle, well, they're not going to be, Abraham's not going to be on one corner of the city. You know, that's carnal, but he's not going to be in one corner of the city holding it up. No, it's the foundation of their faith. It's the foundation of what they brought. Now, I'm preaching, we're not in Sunday school. So anyway, let's get back to this. When you're a skeptic of the Bible, when you're a skeptic of the Word being right, you just might as well stay back until first you believe it. Hold back. What is sin? Unbelief. There's only two elements that control the human being. Now, right here it is. There's only two elements that control the human being. That's either doubt or faith. And before you were a doubter, right? So was God in there? No, but God was in here. And you were in here. You were here, right? This is the seed. This is where we should have been born from. Preaching again. All right. One or the other. You're possessed of one that dominates your life. Now tell me, when you were out in the world of sin, there was not a part of God in you anywhere. There was a representation that you was going to come to it. But when you did what you did, the Bible said, I told the brother, I said, I got one scripture that says God will not dwell in an unclean vessel. So where is that seed when I'm out there in the bed of adultery or out there committing a crime or out there cursing the name of God? Where is God in any of that? No, God had it laying waiting. Waiting on you to come to a place. Then, Brother Brown said, somehow, God comes down through all that and gives you the new birth. Now, to me, that I agree that that always was eternal. God knew you'd be that. He knew the day you'd come to it, but you didn't. All right? You're possessed of one that dominates your life. Just depends on how much faith you have is how high you can rise. All right? And now faith does the rest of it. Faith does the rest. So you got to have faith first to get virtue. All right? All Christianity, all you are, all you'll ever be is based on faith in the Word. That's the reason I believe the Word. All right? Then he says, first you must be born again. Then when you're born again, you have faith. You believe the Word. Until you're born again, you'll argue against it. If you're just religiously inclined and you got a little human knowledge that you should do right, you'll never be able to agree on the Word of God. You'll never do it. Got to be born again. And born again, it produces faith. All right? Then after you get faith, that's right here, F-A-I-T-H. He's got it on the pyramid. Then you're just in position of growing. Now, there's where the thing comes in this morning we're going to talk about now. Talk about a house, a foundation. What is the foundation of Christianity? Faith in the Word of God. Not faith in a man, faith in the Word of God. All right, that's your foundation. Then you begin to grow. Then you begin to add to this foundation. All right? Now, here's what we do. What's the first thing? Have faith and be born again. That's laying the foundation. Then after we lay the foundation, secondly, you add to your foundation, add to your faith. First, you have faith, then you add virtue to your faith. That's the next column. First, pour your foundation. Then to your faith, add virtue. Now, right there knocks a lot of us down. Yes, sir. Add virtue to your faith. That doesn't just mean living a virgin life, you know, like the woman or man and so forth. That doesn't have nothing to do with it. All right? So we see that that's it. Yeah, that's the last one. Okay. But you got to have faith. Now, right there knocks a lot of us off. So, add to your faith virtue. So, you got to have faith to believe that God's going to give you virtue. If you don't have faith that God's going to give you virtue, then you need to stop right there. Pack it in a little bit more. You know what? Take a little bit. The foundation may be a little wobbly, but it's a foundation. But you got to go over there and pack that corner or pack that side over there and get it real firm. that you're part of God, you're his child, and once being child and being in the family, you can have all these other attributes, all right, called virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. So think on faith, and we'll read some about faith next Sunday, all right? But add to your faith, add to what you believe, virtue.